Lemon is brought to you by McDonald's. Lunchtime, dinner time, your time. McDonald's all day breakfast makes any time a good morning time. From JFK, where he's getting ready to board a plane to go to Los Angeles because he's covering the Oscars for CNN. Don Lemon, good morning.
You keep talking about McDonald's. I won't be able to fit in my Oscar dress.
Excuse me?
Your Oscar dress.
I was wondering how long it was going to take you to get that. I'm going to go to McDonald's and eat the healthy meal this morning. But
he
you're right,
himself.
Tom. Good morning to everybody except for Jay. You're right as we come in the airport heading to Los Angeles to cover the Oscar. Remember, guys, just a couple of weeks back, we were discussing the return of the Oscar So White hashtag. Well, it may be time to replace that hashtag with Hollywood Is So White. You know, John Oliver, formerly of The Daily Show, he took on that subject on his HBO show last week and pointing out how even when the characters is of color, white actors are more often than not cast to play them. Look.
Yes, there's no shortage of roles for white actors playing non-white characters. The historical figure you're playing wasn't white? Not a problem. The contemporary figure you're playing wasn't white? Not a problem. The cartoon the movie was based on was entirely about non-white people? Not a problem. Your characters are named Esteban and Clara Trueba in the Isabel Allende novel the movie is based on? Right this way, Jeremy Irons and Meryl Streep.
They went on to show every character of color almost ever played by white actors. By white actors. The problem is no joke, though, and a new study backs that up, Tom. The USC Annenberg School of Communications and Journalism research shows the diversity issue is far deeper than just the Oscars. It's far deeper than race, both on and off screen. Between September of 2014 and August of 2015, a comprehensive study looked at 414 films and television shows. People of color were cast in speaking roles in only 28% of those 414 productions. Only a third of the speaking roles went to women. A meager 2% went to members of the LGBT community. The study also shows that television is a bit more diverse, is a bit more diverse medium, while movies fall at the rock bottom. Stacey L. Smith is an author of the study, says she blames a longstanding myth about what makes movies successful at the box office.
There's a reluctance to look at these box office blockbusters and make changes, right? This is a risk-averse industry, and they do what is comfortable and what is safe because there's such a high price point on the line. But when you start looking down the list year after year, whether it's Hunger Games or Pitch Perfect or Fast and Furious, we see that inclusion is performing at the box office. But I think largely there is a pipeline problem. And the Oscars are at the end of that pipeline.
So the Oscars are at the end of that. She says the problem is more than of diversity. It is an inclusion problem. There needs to be more directors from underrepresented racial and ethnic groups, she said. Women being hired by behind the camera and in front of the camera, and a value placed on inclusive stories, she says. More proof of that comes from the data collected about those who work behind the cameras. Guys, only 13% of the 407 directors were from an underrepresented group. And check this out. Only two filmmakers were women. And guess who one of those was? Ava DuVernay of Selma and Emma Asante of Belle. The idea that films about or starring people of color are risky box office is a myth. In 2010, Monique won Best Supporting Actress for her performance in the movie Pressure. That film grossed more than $63 million. That's more than six times the amount of its budget. 12 Years a Slave grossed over $180 million in 2014. It was also the first film directed, produced, and written by an African-American to win an Oscar for Best Picture. Straight Outta Compton is the most successful musical biopic in history, helping Universal break a speed record for passing a $2 billion mark in domestic ticket sales in just 1 year. And let's not forget last year's highest grossing film, which was Star Wars, The Force Awakens. There were a black actor and a woman. They were both main characters. So with money talk, maybe Hollywood just isn't listening, and it's time for them to do it.
I don't know if you saw the column, Rochelle Riley, the great columnist for the Detroit Free Press, Don, is talking about how she is a big movie fan, and how the box office has dictated how she goes to the movies these days, and not putting out there what, you know, she knows and loves about the movies and representing.
I haven't seen her particular article, but that doesn't surprise me. And there's also a New York Times, a great New York Times article that I think it was 2 days ago that showed sort of the timeline of how movies are produced and come about. And it's, I mean, it's all it's a fix.
It's Holly White. It's Holly White.
Yeah.
And
for people not to admit it, I mean, I think they're, I just think that they're being naive, or they just, you know, are wanting to be, because as we have shown, movies about diversity, about black issues that include a diverse cast, that are written by diverse people, they're big boxes, big box in Hollywood. And if they don't see that, that's their own short-sighted.
And look at television. Look at how,
CNN is covering it.
CNN, hashtag CNN, Oscar so black. It's going to be four black correspondents. And that's
what
we're
wearing, Don. Don, who are you wearing when you do the runway?
I'm going to wear a J.
Anthony Brown original?
J. Anthony Brown by Armani Privé. It's a cat suit.
Wow.
It's a cat suit.
Show some cleavage.
Oh, so you did go into Jay's closet.
There wasn't enough room in Jay's closet for me.
We'll be watching, Don.